WMFO Medford 91.5 FM. It is The Big Picture. Derek, Gary, and Lisa Nichols with you until 9 o'clock tonight. 855-915-9636 is the phone number. Call us. Don't call the FCC and complain. Call us. 855-915-9636. Here's something you don't like. You can call in and speak to us directly and tell us when and how and why we're wrong, which Lisa probably is. Coming up later tonight, the drums of war. The drums of war are beating, and they are beating for North Korea. We're going to get down to the bottom of what has been said, some of which is, I have to admit, rather alarming for those of us who understand history. So we're going to give you an honest assessment of what's happening, not to scare you, but just so you can be prepared. The lovely Lisa Nichols is with me, as always. Hello.
Hello.
How are you?
I'm good. I'm well.
Slow news day. Really, really slow news day.
Mm-hmm. I spent half of the afternoon watching and slightly falling asleep FBI Director James Comey.
Oh, yeah.
Being grilled and then trying to work his way around some questions by the House.
Slow news week. Really, just nothing at all happening.
Nothing important.
I haven't been scrambling and reworking everything that's going into tonight's show up until the last few minutes.
Mm-hmm.
So I guess that means we got a lot to get to, so let's stop screwing around. What do we got?
In local news today, we learned tragedy strikes and questions still remain. Three people were killed and nine others injured when a vehicle went careening through a crowd of people gathered at an auto auction at an indoor facility in Billerica Wednesday morning. Middlesex District Attorney Marion Ryan said at a press conference that a worker at the Linway Auto Auction was behind the wheel of a 2006 Jeep Grand Cherokee when it suddenly accelerated. Quote, as the vehicle began to enter the building, following a pace behind the car in front of it, it suddenly accelerated, traveling through inside the building at a very high rate of speed, striking numerous people, and ultimately was brought to a halt by crashing into a cinder block wall that was far on the other end, Ryan said. Ryan said there were several hundred people in the building at the time of the crash. She said that the vehicle traveled the entire length of the warehouse, which she estimated was about the size of a baseball field. Authorities said two of the victims were female, one was male. Though they did not provide names or ages, of the nine injured, Ryan said two had life-threatening injuries. Most recent up-to-date information, we actually do know the name of one of the victims that passed away. It was a mother from Lowell who was a mother of three children and just started working this week at the Linway Auto Auction.
Yeah. For those of you who've never been to one of these things, maybe you've seen them on TV, this is a massive building.
Mm-hmm.
Everything's indoors. It is a massive building. And car dealers from all over the state come to these auto auctions to buy cars to sell at their dealerships. And it's broken up into lanes so that they can keep the auction moving along very quickly. So they have all these cars stacked up in these lanes, and there are lanes for driving and there are lanes for viewing. And apparently, for reasons as yet unknown, this Jeep Cherokee just accelerated and tore right into one of the lanes for viewing and then smashed his way through the building.
Mm-hmm. We do know that the driver, police were talking to him. He's a 70-year-old man, an employee of the building.
Yeah.
And, of course, before I got any information with where it was and what was going on, because you see all the news flashing, whether you're watching local stations or it was popping up on through your news feed, instantly you think car crashing through a crowd of people. Oh, no.
Yeah.
And so many times we say, this is a situation where this could actually happen here. And this is almost like the new school. This is not...
The Friends of Allah are not involved in this.
Yes, they're not in Billerica.
This is not...
As far as we know.
Yeah, this is an accident. And as near as we can tell, The guy driving the car did not have any kind of a medical episode.
Well, that's why so many questions do remain. I mean, exactly like you just said, though. As far as we know, was it something also with the car?
Yeah.
That could have been an... I mean, how many times have we covered countless stories about mechanical failures in cars, recalls, and so on and so on?
I believe these particular Jeeps did have a recall at one point in time. So I did not dig too deeply into that. This is the worst workplace accident in the Commonwealth of Massachusetts since 2007. So it's been 10 years since we've had three people killed.
2007, what was that? The shooting in Wakefield?
No, that was 2000. Mm-hmm. That was further back than that. That is the worst. Actually, I think there were seven people killed. Were there seven killed in Edgewater?
It was up there.
I think it was... that and the warehouse fire in Springfield are the two deadliest days on the job. You don't consider shootings a workplace accident, though. This, by all accounts, is an accident. And this is the worst since there was a steam pipe explosion at the Salem coal plant back in November of 2007.
Mm-hmm.
Three workers killed in that. So this is a big deal. You know, and the coverage that it's getting is warranted because there are hundreds of people in that building while this is going on. One witness said there were 2,000 people there. It seems like a high estimate, but it's not impossible.
Mm-hmm.
So you have people in a building, you have a vehicle careening out of control. There's only so many places you can go if you even realize what's happening.
It's crazy to think, though, that we're talking about... You know, as the Attorney General said, went from one end of the building to another. But thinking about how fast a single motor vehicle could go, 100 yards at, say, 70 miles an hour, 60 miles an hour, if that acceleration was all the way, almost all the way. I mean, think about how fast some of the football players run 100 yards. Think about, you know, at first when I'm listening to the distance of it and saying, how did it not stop sooner? This was done in a matter of, what, maybe 3-4 seconds?
Yeah, it didn't stop at all. The smashed through a cinder block wall, by the way. Mm-hmm. Give you some idea how fast this thing was going. It didn't stop until it smashed through the wall. That's what stopped the vehicle. So, obviously, there's going to be a full investigation on this. Sad. Tragic story.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
oh,
and it's, I hate to hear about things like this. Apparently, the woman who died was a mother of three. This was her first day. Mm-hmm. Working there, and it's
heartbreaking.
Yeah, it's just tragic. So our hearts go out to everybody up there in Billerica. In national news, House Republicans have a dim view of how American workers should be compensated. The Working Families Flexibility Act passed the House today along party lines, with six Republicans joining all House Democrats in opposing it. The bill would allow employers to offer paid time off instead of time and a half pay for overtime work. Republican sponsors see the bill as a way for employees to gain more flexibility in their hours, while critics rightly point out that it serves as a form of deferred compensation, since employers control the time workers can take off. The Trump administration supports the bill, which is expected to die in the Senate. And may it die a swift death and never be resurrected again. This is a terrible idea.
No, I mean, similar bills have been introduced multiple times over the past few decades. And passing through the House three times before, always failing in Senate. You know what? And although the fate of this is unclear in the Senate, the White House said on Tuesday that it does support the bill, saying that in a statement that it would help the American workers balance compensation demands, exactly like you just said. It's not. I mean, that's a BS excuse.
Yeah.
Essentially, what happens, it puts more control, exactly as critics are saying, rightfully so, it puts more control in the hands of employers. And if you're like most employers, you don't want to give money to your employers.
No, this is a way for employers to get free overtime.
Yeah.
Is really, or
limit. But essentially, aren't you seeing a lot with many businesses, employers are not allowing overtime?
Yes. But for those that do, and in some industries, it's inevitable. You know, I used to be a game tester. When you're faced with that ship deadline, you're working 24 hours a day.
Mm-hmm.
And literally, there were times when we came in and did that. You would leave for work, you'd start work at 8, and then you would finish work at 8 the next morning. And then you go home and sleep for a couple of hours, and you'd have to come back. And we got time and a half pay for that. And we love that we got time and a half pay for that. If they'd been asking us to work those hours in exchange for a paid time off,
mm-hmm.
most...
So essentially what it is you're almost earning your time off.
Most employees who...
Is that fair enough to say?
In this day and age, I think I'm right about this. Most employees who are getting time and a half tend to be contract employees or temporary employees. So you're not going to get any time off.
Mm-hmm.
They're going to be like,
they're keeping
you
for a short time.
Yeah. And the worst case scenario is they're going to lay you off, and then they're going to give you the cash equivalent of what your vacation time was, mm-hmm. and then they're going to go do it to somebody else. This is a bad idea.
No, of course, this is a terrible idea.
I'm
in a situation where recently I just took a vacation. So passing
I don't know what that... I haven't had one in 5 years. I don't know what it is.
Last year... I believe it was July 1st. It was passed in Massachusetts. I don't know if it was passed across the country, but July 1st, 2016, it was passed that for vacation time, it had to be earned. So once I hit my anniversary date, which was just, you know, a few weeks ago at the end of March, I then went down after being an employee for 5.5 years back down to 0 yeah. hours, where in the time that I worked in the 5.5 hours, I've only taken 2 vacations at the most,
yeah.
and I think one that I actually used the vacation hours for. It being in the industry and tipped industry, you don't see that money anyways. It goes towards taxes. But essentially what happened was I needed at that date on my anniversary start earning my time. So because I was there for so many years, I got 2 hours for every 40 hours that I worked. If you're under 5 years, then you're only getting 1 hour, and so on and so on. More you accumulate, longer that you're there. So when my vacation came on, April 2nd, 3rd, I left, I had 4 hours accumulated, and that's a half a day.
Yeah.
And I feel like you're seeing this so much. And not all businesses are required to adopt this, but it's an easy way that a law that is being passed, whether it be statewide or being passed on the federal level, it's a way that is giving more power to the companies to essentially cut out the benefits of the employee. And it's unfair.
There are industries that regularly abuse overtime and regularly abuse and cheat workers out of overtime pay.
Mm-hmm.
We don't need to give employers any more incentive to do this.
No, of course.
And this is ridiculous. This is ridiculous on its face. If you are asking people to work more than 40 hours a week, they get
time
and a half.
You should be compensated for it.
Absolutely. You should be compensated for it. Or if, like me, you're a salaried employee, you're screwed anyway.
That's the thing, though. It should never be a situation where there's an ultimatum.
But there always is.
Instead of getting time and a half, you're going to acquire all these hours so that you can get paid time off. Well, essentially, isn't that like a sick day or a PT?
Keep in mind, we're in a tight labor market again now, which means, you know, no matter how good an employee you are, there is somebody younger and cheaper who they can replace you with.
Of course.
So you better be invaluable or do whatever they say. And what they say is, we don't want to hire anybody, so nobody gets any time off.
And you put your head down and you walk away.
Yeah. Yeah, this is so anti-worker.
Mm-hmm.
It's insane. I don't know how anybody with a brain in their head could support this bill.
Well, essentially, though, you have an administration that is trying to grandstand on this, you know, American workers first, America first. We're all about the people, especially in the middle class. I mean, look at the Midwest and these people that this is what the Trump campaign focused on, and making it better for these people. How is what you're doing or trying to pass? And I understand this is not coming from Trump. This is coming from your old school Republicans that are stuck in Washington, that have been there for so long, and that should be out.
In theory, what they're saying is we're trying to restore work-life balance for Americans. In reality, what you're doing is cutting America's paycheck.
That's what you hear all the time from companies that say, hey, first of all, we're going to cut your salary. Now you're doing hourly. It's going to be better for company morale.
Yeah.
And then we're going to only limit you to 45 hours. Well, in reality, you're working more, but you're not getting the overtime pay for
Correct.
It. You're getting... like, that is insane.
You're getting screwed is what you're getting.
Yes.
And that's exactly what this bill does. It screws workers, and it gives employers a way to cheap out on overtime.
I mean, it's putting lipstick on a pig. It's still a pig.
There are so many ways that you can abuse this, visible from 10 miles away,
mm-hmm.
that nobody in their right mind should have supported this bill. Okay? If I had an elected representative, and I'm from Massachusetts, so I know I don't. If I had an elected representative in the House who supported this bill... I'd be chucking them out of office
mm-hmm.
in another year. You say, oh, you supported that thing? You're taking overtime away from everybody? Goodbye. You don't get it. Sorry. Stupid. Stupid, stupid, stupid.
No, it's taking money away from the American people.
There's too much stupid. In world news, President Donald Trump spoke by phone with Russian President Vladimir Putin on Tuesday for the first time since the Trump administration launched Tomahawk missiles at an airfield used by Russia in Syria. The two presidents agreed to meet on the sidelines of the upcoming G20 summit in Germany, and Trump agreed to send a U.S. representative to scheduled Syrian ceasefire talks. Foreign policy analyst Vladimir Foreign policy analyst Vladimir Frolov told the New York Times that Moscow's attitude toward Washington is, quote, still some hopes, disappointment, and caution, end quote. The Kremlin called the phone call, quote, businesslike and constructive, end quote, in official remarks. So,
I like you.
The Donald and Vlad got on the phone and grunted at each other.
Yeah. Did a little chest beating.
Yeah. Compared notes on their favorite cigars and vodkas and...
Yeah. You touched on it a little bit, and it's interesting when you actually do look at the comparison from the transcripts as well as we can... translate it from Russian, but the transcripts that are coming out of DC and the transcripts that are coming out of Moscow. And again, one of the conversations, the U.S. readout, it framed the conversation call, air quote, regarding Syria. That's mostly all what it was about. But the White House said President Trump and President Putin agreed that the suffering in Syria has gone on too far and too long, and all parties must do what they can to end the violence. Now, if you look at the comparison, what is coming out of the Kremlin, the version really doesn't talk too much about the Syrian people itself, but said, quote, future coordination of Russian and U.S. actions to fight international terrorism in the context of Syrian crisis. So you have the United States saying, we're worrying about the people.
Yeah.
All about the refugees and the people, and it's a humanitarian crisis where Russia has stayed on track 100% of what they've always stayed on and said, this is about terrorism,
yeah.
This is about ISIS. How do we get rid of ISIS?
Oh, the sticking point in this particular case is whether or not they're going to set up sort of safe passage zones for people who are in some of the cities that are still under siege so that they can get out. The United States wants this. Russia doesn't care.
Mm-hmm.
Russia's like, we're blowing up everybody. And Russia, I don't think Russia's attitude is really, we're blowing up everybody. Russia's just like, we want to get this done. Okay? You guys want to dance around and you know, have the Red Crescent, like, ferrying people in and out. We're not going to guarantee that we don't drop bombs on them. And that's sort of been the way that Russia has addressed the Syrian situation. They have been ruthless. And unfortunately, as I've pointed out more than once, when you have a city under siege, there's only one way that the thing ends. Mm-hmm. And it ends with everybody dead in a pile of rubble.
No, in comparison to what is currently going on in D.C. and with the tail end, I would say because there wasn't much focus before the end of Obama's administration, it was kind of like, we don't really know what we're doing. We're not going to talk to Russia because Russia's bad. So we're going to do our own thing. We're lightly going to tread on Syria. Russia was full-blown. We knew with the Trump administration coming in that there was going to be some sort of talk, some sort of ties with Russia,
yeah.
Because they understand what is going on in the crisis that is there.
That
is one thing that I have to give a nod to because it is. It's serious.
There is no more firm call for regime change
mm-hmm.
in Syria on the part of the United States, which is one of the reasons why we're even talking to Russia in the first place. I mean, we have to. because you can't have these two countries carrying out military operations in the same country without communication and without agreeing on some basic principles.
It's impossible. And you're dealing with a country that, you know, basically is doing whatever they want. They have a leader that is, it is proven, that is spilling sarin gas.
Yeah.
And killing thousands of children.
And Russia's backing that guy. And Russia's backing Erdogan, who's using the Syrian conflict as a pretext to kill Kurds, mm-hmm. which everybody knows is going on.
Erdogan has always ran this fine line of, I'm your friend, but I'm still going to do side business. It's the same thing when they had connections with ISIS and the oil funneling going through Turkey. I mean, you can't have your cake and eat it too.
Erdogan,
like
Erdogan is your friend as long as you don't ask him what's going on.
No, Turkey is very selfish in that sense. But you're exactly right when you say you can't have, and there's no possible way that anybody in the world, and especially leaders like Russia and the United States, completely stay out of what is going on. We know that the Middle East is a complete hot mess. Something needs to be done.
Well, we both have, both countries have a strategic interest in putting an end to ISIS and putting an end to what's going on over there. This isn't...
Doesn't anybody, everybody in the world?
Well, if you ask the people, most people look at what's happening in Syria and say, you got to stop the suffering of the kids and the people. There are a lot of innocent people being killed and maimed and terrorized by everything that's going on over there. The leaders don't care. Understand this. If you understand nothing else, understand this. The leaders don't care. Donald Trump doesn't care about the Syrian children, okay? Vladimir Putin doesn't care about the Syrian children. What they care about is ISIS, which is a problem that might come home and kill their own citizens, who they do care about.
Which they have done.
So if a lot of Syrians have to die to get rid of ISIS, both sides are more or less okay with that. It's a question of what lengths we're going to go to try and protect the innocent. And Russia's answer is, we're not interested. You guys want to try and get people out, have fun. Okay? We're not going to heed that. So we're sending somebody over to try and get that inserted into the language. But it is a good thing that Russia clearly asked us to send a representative. Donald Trump agreed to send a representative. We want somebody at the table for these negotiations, just so that we know what's being discussed, not necessarily to try and influence them, not to try and say we demand regime change or anything like that, but to at least have a seat at the table and be a part of the process.
Mm-hmm.
Because that is the sort of thing that engenders good cooperation between the United States and Russia moving forward.
Absolutely. That's the number one thing that you've always said, regardless what the tensions are, especially in the Middle East, that it is more wise to work with a country, Iran being a perfect example. They need a seat at the table. There needs to be some sort of communication back and forth, because communication is key. Yeah. Nothing goes on. The assumptions are made. Actions are planned. There needs to be that. And so many times I've asked you this question, is there ever going to be an end to this? Is there ever going to be a solution to this? Just when I think it's, never do I think that it's backing off a little bit, but it heightens just a little bit. And unfortunately, when you have two players like Russia and the United States involved in it, there is going to be a lot more strategic planning.
Well, this is also part of a much bigger story that we're going to be talking about later on tonight, and that has to do with North Korea. And there are a lot of things coming out of Washington, coming out of China, mm-hmm. coming out of other places that have everything to do with what is likely to happen in North Korea in the very near future. So.
Well, that was part of the transcripts as well, talking about that Korea. I mean, this is a big problem.
Yeah, so stick around for that.
Well, today in sports news, we learned one game can put a black eye on Boston sports. The Boston Red Sox apologized Tuesday morning, a day after Baltimore Orioles outfielder Adam Jones said he was subjected to racist abuse and had objects thrown at him from the crowd in Fenway Park on Monday night. Quote, the Red Sox would like to publicly apologize to Adam Jones and the entire Orioles organization for what occurred on Fenway Park on Monday night. End quote. The team said in a statement from President Sam Kennedy, quote, no player should ever have anything thrown at him while playing on the field, nor be subjected to any kind of racism at Fenway Park. The Red Sox have zero tolerance for such inexcusable behavior, and our entire organization and our fans are sickened by the conduct by an ignorant few. Such conduct should be reported immediately to the Red Sox security, and any spectator behaving in this manner forfeits his or her right to remain in the ballpark and will be subject to further action, end quote. After Monday night's 5-3 Orioles victory over the Red Sox in Boston, Jones told the Boston Globe, quote, a disrespectful person threw a bag of peanuts at me and I got called the N-word a handful of time. Jones said that he had been racially taunted in Boston on other occasions as well. I say it so with
slow
just a
news day on Tuesday.
Just a
slow
sad,
news day.
Sad, sad heart. Such a bad, bad look, Boston.
Well, how is it a bad look? This is what Boston is.
But
this
it isn't.
Is who we are.
But it isn't.
Yes, it is. This is who we are. And those of us who aren't
but
racist.
It isn't.
Those of us who aren't racist, those of us who don't walk around using the N-word at every given opportunity, those of us who don't go on Twitter and call Montreal Canadian players the N-word and all the rest of this can take the high ground, okay? But let's face it, when somebody can sit in the stands at Fenway Park shouting racial epithets at anybody, whether it's an opposing player, whether it's one of our guys, whether it's somebody else in the stands, and nobody does anything,
and not get kicked out,
that's who we are. That is who we are. And you know why that's who we are? Is because nobody in that section said a damn thing. Nobody said a damn thing.
But it's interesting.
And if you sit by and you tolerate racism, you are as guilty as the person committing the act of racism. You are silently encouraging that person.
That I do agree with. But you also understand, and in a wise man taught me, that wise man would be you. You have to understand what you are going into when you are dealing with a, what I'm going to assume, because 70% of Fenway Park is drinking or has been drinking.
Oh, please, 70%. Keep going higher.
I'm being gentle.
Boston.
I'm being gentle. You have to understand when you are going into a situation like that, whether you are dealing with an irrational person, whether you are dealing with an intoxicated person, or somebody that just, you need to know the situation that you are going into.
You, as an individual, don't have to deal with it because there are Boston police, there are security guards wearing orange jackets.
But not close by.
Of course there are.
Not in every area, not in every section. There is absolutely not. I mean, come on, Derek.
The worst case scenario, Lisa, is you have to walk either to the top of the stairs or down into the concourse to go find somebody.
Oh, no, absolutely. If you can walk, yes. Were there people that's... First one, my question, were there people that actually said like, hey, there's a really unruly person and you had, you know, a 25-year-old kid that kind of shrugged his shoulders and said, I'm not getting involved with a drunk person. So no, I can't discredit anybody in that area because there is a good chance that somebody while walking to the bathroom said, hey, you know what, maybe keep an eye on that guy down there. He's getting a little unruly. I didn't want to start anything because... Derek, if you're there with your wife, Molly, you're in protection mode, or if you're with kids, or you do not want to start anything. Have you ever seen that show, What Would You Do?
Yes.
It's an interesting dynamic, and they put...
No, it's poorly staged. I've seen it, and...
But it doesn't reflect reality. But it saddens me when people do not react and converse with each other about the situation that is going on and do not do anything about it. And again, I don't know what I would do because I'm not in that situation. But yes, there could have been a situation with this man screaming, or what, we actually don't know who it was, with this person screaming racial slurs. Nobody around him is doing anything and finds it okay that you are throwing peanuts at an opposing player.
If somebody in center field can hear racial epithets being screamed from the crowd, okay? that fan is sitting in one of two places. They're either up on the wall, and about 150 people can see and hear who it is, or they're in the bleachers, and about 500 people can see and hear who it is. So we're not talking about, like, a couple of people in the immediate area. We're talking about hundreds of people heard this in order for Adam Jones to be able to hear it on the field. Out of hundreds of people.
No, absolutely.
Nobody stood up and said, you know what? I'm getting security.
No, it
I've had enough of that
clown. It's shameful.
It is shameful.
And this is
who we are. Boston, you are a bunch of racist losers. This is who we are.
Every time we
sit back and let some other racist ding-dong walk down the street or sit in a field or sit at a stadium screaming their nonsense and don't do anything, we are part of the problem. And you can't go home and take the high ground and say, man, I wish that guy would have stopped yelling those words. You got to do something.
But of course, so many people in that situation do not deal with it because you are dealing with, more than likely, a drunk a-hole.
Go get security. And don't tell me for a second that not a single security person heard that. Because, again, I know where the security is up on the monster.
No, because to them, and this goes into training and what, and of course the Red Sox are going to tout themselves on being, you know, all inclusive and love everything. I mean, essentially, you're sticking these people that have very, very little training. So you talk about security guards not wanting to do anything. I was a security for the Patriots, in turn for paying for our spring training trips in college. The Patriots had individual teams work different areas. Lucky enough, they must have thought all the girls lacrosse players were big. I weighed about 85 pounds.
Yeah, but you also...
And I was right basically on the first loge of the field with my back towards the field and facing the fans. Do you think that I'm going to stop anybody? Do you think that I'm going to say something to a 200-pound man that is drunk?
First of all, the section
I was
first of all
berated, harassed, and multiple other things as a security agent.
Sure. But first of all, you're in the section with all the rich people who are less likely to engage in violence than the non-rich people up in the 300s. That's where the fun is. Second of all, as somebody who has been in that role, you know what you're supposed to do. If somebody gets out of hand, you don't intervene. You're there to be a set of eyes. You call the full-time professional security people that they have.
That's the proper thing to do. That's what you and I know that you should do.
You're a green jacket. You call the orange jackets. And the orange jackets come in and they deal with it.
I was actually in an orange jacket. I honestly don't know
That's why you got abused. Is we hate the orange jackets. Because we know who the orange jackets are.
But sadly, what it seems to me is these people are trained to only stop fights and only stop people from running on the field. And it's just a bunch of drunk people doing whatever.
Yeah.
I do agree with you. I do 100% agree with you that it is shameful that nobody said it. I do want to give the benefit of the doubt that somebody or some people did say something and maybe there were no actions right away.
If that's the case, then I will apologize.
But
I will apologize to anybody who got up and said
Boston.
Something about this.
But this is what the typical image of a Boston, say, Southie Townie or Charleston Townie, like it's just, you know, we know that people are racist for the most part.
And why do you think everybody has that image? Because we're racists. Own it. Boston is a racist city. It is full of racists. If you grew up in Massachusetts, there is a very good chance that you're a racist. Sorry to say it, but it's true.
No, I mean, I can't,
okay.
But I honestly can't disagree with you there. I'm not saying that every single person in Boston or in Massachusetts is a racist.
And honestly,
but understanding it's.
Honestly, you want to go to a place where people aren't racist? Go down to New York City. Go spend some time in Los Angeles. Mm-hmm. Spend some time in Chicago. Spend some time in Atlanta. Places where they don't confine.
But you know that, you
places
know this
where
in
they
Boston.
Don't confine all the minorities to one neighborhood. Mm-hmm. and you encounter people of all different walks of life and all different backgrounds every single day.
No, of course. It's sad that Boston is so old school mentality that you had, you know, in East Boston, it was originally just the Italians and they got mad because the Brazilians moved in and the Spanish moved in.
Sure.
It's this old school mentality that not everybody has, but that a lot of people have. And it's sad. It's sickening. Personally, and there's not many things that it just really disheartens me that this is where we are in this day and age where we don't act like this.
WMFO Medford, I have to say.
A human being does not act like this.
Actually, a human being does act like this. This goes back into something in our primal brain that we still had a use for 200, 300 years ago that we haven't outgrown yet. We don't have any need for it. I can't understand how somebody can walk around hating people.
Mm-hmm.
I don't get it. I never have.
No, and I've seen it so many times, you know? Where I do not surround myself with racist people. I have every walk of life that is a close acquaintance, friend. And it's sad that if you engage in that, but I can't be naive. Or I can't be dishonest and say I've never witnessed it. I have. And it's this, again, old school mentality that unfortunately here, and I'm not giving credit to saying that this is what Boston is, but it's that old school mentality that it is passed through generation. It's that old school, you know, I'm Boston and this is how it is. It's the white working man.
Here's the thing.
And everybody else.
Bostonians, by and large, aren't bad people. I am proud to have grown up in Massachusetts. I'm proud to have spent a lot of time in Boston. I'm proud to have lived in Boston. We're racist. We have a racism problem in this state, in this city, in this region. We have a racism problem. Stop denying it. Stop denying it. Stop sitting there and saying, well, I'm not racist and none of my friends are racist. That's crap. All right? You may not be racist. I guarantee you. You've got friends who are racist. They may not talk about it because it's not a polite thing to do.
Behind closed doors.
We may get upset when the Klan tries to have a march through town because we're not that kind of racist. But we got plenty of racists hanging around up here. And the path to a solution is to start by admitting, I am a racist. Even if you don't think you are, evaluate your life. Evaluate what you do. Evaluate how you treat other people. And then come away and say, I'm not a racist. And then start looking at everybody around you. And try and, if you're not a racist, try and help them overcome it. Because it's something we need to overcome. There is no need for it.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? Racism is a byproduct of an era where we all had to fight each other for food and shelter. Those days are gone. The people we have to fight right now are the billionaires who are taking more of our money every single day. Who, by the way, are overwhelmingly white.
Mm-hmm. But we're dealing with sports, and it's sad where, you know, you do have every walk of life. You have people from different countries. You have people from different upbringings. And sports is supposed to do that. It's not about how you grew up, who you are. It's about your ability. And you earned that spot. And sadly, when it's this is what we focus on, you put your head down.
Yeah.
And it's sad.
Yeah. But don't try and tell me this is an isolated incident. Don't try and tell me the Red Sox care or are doing the right thing. If the Red Sox cared and were doing the right thing, security would have figured out who was calling, who was yelling those slurs, and would have got them out of the park. And if the fans were doing the right thing, somebody would have gone and said to security, because when people are yelling in a section, everybody knows who it is. We had a guy in front of us. Had a guy in front of us on Saturday. Kept jumping up trying to get people to do the wave. and I'm sitting there.
You and your wife warned me because you went to the game on Saturday and we were in the same seats. And I went to the game on Sunday and said, you know, be warned.
I spent the last couple of innings ragging on the Chicago Cubs fans, calling them pink hats, saying, you know, call us back after you've won a second World Series, making fun of Jay Cutler and just on it. And there were a couple of Cubs fans in front of me who were laughing at everything I said.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not being mean to them. You know?
That's what you do.
I'm just like, you're going to come into our house and you're going to make a lot of noise. And they were cheering louder than we were. And I'm like,
I don't know what it is.
Where'd all these Cubs fans come from?
So many of the most recent games that I've been to, there have been more. And in Chicago, basically, ascended on Boston everywhere I went.
Everybody wants to come to Fenway.
Of course.
It's like everybody wants to go to Wrigley.
And Fenway Park are still the only two parks that have that. Well, I mean, it's the
feels
oldest.
Like baseball.
Yeah.
Feels like baseball. It's old-time baseball.
And it's sad when you get off one of the second-to-last stops before the new Yankee Stadium. There's a part of the wall of the old Yankee Stadium, and you can see that. And it's one of those moments where you feel those bricks, and you're like, so much history here.
Yeah.
Sad it's gone.
It's like these lousy Cubs fans. Yeah. Hey, go do that in your own house. You don't come to our house and do that. They're a real problem.
Sad. In food news today, we learned Trump plans to make school lunches great again. The Trump administration is scaling back school meal nutritional requirements set by the Obama White House in 2012. Secretary of Agriculture Sonny Perdue signed a proclamation Monday that relaxes standards for upcoming school year in three key areas: whole grain, salt, and milk. Specifically, states will be able to grant exceptions to school experiencing hardships in meeting the 100% whole grain rich standard, although even with the changes, at least half of the grains offered in school must be whole grains. Schools will no longer need to hit the strictest target for lowering sodium in foods offered to students, and meal programs will be able to serve students 1% flavored milk instead of fat-free flavored milk. In 2012, under the Hunger Free Kids Act, former Agricultural Secretary Tom Vilsack, that's a friend of the show, right? And first lady,
good old Tom Vilsack.
Michelle Obama established new standards to raise the overall nutritional requirements for school meals. It's not the only program by Michelle Obama that saw changes this week. The Trump administration also discontinued Let Girls Learn, an education initiative for teen girls in developing countries that started in 2015. So interesting, some moves in the food world with regards to the new administration.
I think he's calling this program Make America Fat Again.
We're going back to 1%. I mean, how many studies, though, and I bring you the food stories. There are new studies that are coming out and saying, you know what, this actually isn't so bad for you. It's not like they're saying, bring back all the frozen pizza, bring back, you know, the sodium-induced. They're making a point to put a spotlight on the really high requirements that many of these school programs, which in turn, these high requirements, you know, to eat healthy, it costs more money.
Let me ask you a question.
Schools don't have the money to meet these high standards.
Let me ask you a question.
What?
Back in the 70s and the 80s, when I was growing up, we had whole milk. Mm-hmm. We had Pizza Fridays. We had tater tots for lunch every single day.
In the 90s, we did too.
Nobody ate the salads. Mm-hmm. They gave you a little cup of salad that went straight into the trash. We had our meatball subs, and we had our mystery fish, and you know, we had the tuna surprise sandwich because it looked like a grilled cheese, and surprise, there's tuna in it, and it was atrocious. You know, we didn't have fat kids running around all over the place. So here we are eating all this horrible processed whole fat food, mm-hmm, loaded with sugar and sodium and everything else, and we didn't have fat kids running around all over the place.
And
what
you
happened,
know
America?
Why?
Yeah.
Because what? You probably walked a mile and a half to and from school. You probably played with your friends. God, crazy, but outdoors after school.
That was a part of it.
You had something called recess. You went outside. You climbed trees. You played sports. You did things.
That was a part of it. But the other part of it was, and I've brought this up many, many times, we didn't have 20-ounce bottles of soda.
It's true.
You bought soda in a 12-ounce can, and you were happy with that. Mm-hmm. That's the way we liked it, to quote the older generation. And that to me, has been one of the biggest problems in this country.
Bigger, better.
Is everywhere you go, they got these 20-ounce bottles of soda. I just had one myself, mm-hmm, okay?
No, it's
even though I am overweight. Okay.
It is a problem. And there are so many factors that lead into it, but we're constantly putting a focus on schools, making requirements, which cost money, which these schools do not have. I mean, there's an example, the head of the agriculture, he said that, look at something like in the South. One of the requirements is 100% whole grain. If you use something which is a staple in that food, which is grits, for it to be 100% whole grain, it has these red little, black little spots in them. Kids don't want to eat it. They say nobody eats it. It's like the new salad. So all of this food
is grits. Who cares?
Is being wasted.
It's full of butter.
Because it's good. Kids don't do anything anymore.
That's a big part of the problem.
Kids do not do anything anymore.
They sit on their butts and they're on the computer all day long.
Well, it starts from
video
start
games
to finish.
All day long.
God forbid if you ever allow. I mean, one, you don't think the world is safe, so you don't allow your child to walk on its own. Two, your child kicks and screams when it says it has to walk down the street to school. God forbid, because you need to be strapped in the back of the SUV and be carted around every possible way. That's one thing. Then you have the schools that are taking out recess because, you know, you got to get those grades up and MCAS. So you're taking out gym. You're taking out recess or limiting to them to, what, 10 minutes? By the time you're actually putting on your jacket, it's time to come back in. Because we got to worry about the math and science. It's what everybody needs to learn.
By the way, anecdotal, but in my neighborhood, there are kids. And the kids that I see running around outside all day long, the kids who are in and out of my driveway and in and out of all the neighbors' backyards, they're in great shape, okay? The kids that I see walking around town, they're all in great shape. I see a lot of fat kids around too, but I never see them outside.
It's true.
So you tell me what's going on. This isn't about the school lunches. Mm-hmm. By the way, can we bring back recess? Can we bring back gym? And it needs to be... Put the device down. Go outside. Mm-hmm. Go run around for 10 minutes.
But no, God forbid.
Here are some balls.
I had this in my family when I was growing up. My nephews, they very much enjoy their DSs. I mean, now they're a little bit older, so they've outgrown them a little bit. But God forbid if you go outside and look at the sun, and you don't melt. In fact, but these kids don't want to. They're attached to their phones because we're giving cell phones to 9-year-olds. They're attached to their video gaming systems. There is no recreational activities outside.
We had video game systems when I was growing up, and we played them for hours upon hours upon hours. Entire days, entire weekends were lost playing video games. But... That wasn't the only thing that we did.
Yeah, you like to go outside and play in the mud and go down to by the pond.
Running through the woods, riding our bikes all over town. We did all kinds of stuff. Video games were just part of it. And the other big difference is when I was growing up, your social network was the people that you saw face to face.
On the street.
And you walked over to their house and then you walked to the park. Or everybody went to the mall and walked around. Or everybody went to the beach and ran around. You went places together and you did things. You didn't sit on a computer all night long saying, "How you doing? OMG, LOL. Rafflecopter. Can't believe what Joe said." That's not even human interaction.
Your lingo is so up to date. I know. It's
poo
sad.
Emoji.
It's sad. It's so sad.
Poo emoji? Is that hip enough for you?
I don't think I've ever used that.
Poo emoji? The emojis just don't work in broadcasting, sorry to say. Speaking of the social medias, Facebook is under fire after documents leaked to an Australian newspaper revealed that the company was monitoring the emotions of teen users and that it had shared the information with an advertiser. Two Facebook executives prepared a 23-page report for an Australian bank explaining how Facebook could detect mood shifts in teens as young as 14 based on the contents of their posts. The leak raises troubling questions about how Facebook could manipulate teen users, something that the company came under fire for in a 2014 experiment that elevated posts with negative emotions in 700,000 users' feeds. A Facebook representative stressed to USA Today that the company cannot target users based on their emotions, yet in parentheses, and said that it regularly honors requests from advertisers who wish to research how people communicate on their platform.
Ugh. Another story. Facebook is bad.
Hey, we know
Facebook
where the kids are sad.
Facebook is bad.
Run candy ads. Candy makes kids happy.
It's awful. This blows my mind. And as I was watching James Comey today getting grilled, and one of the, I forget who it was, a representative, talked about, you know, Facebook is so great. And look what Facebook is figuring out about the bots and the surveillance and cyber attack. Facebook is great. No, it is not.
No, it's
Facebook
not.
Is not good. And if you don't think that Facebook is anything more than trying to plug specific information, and they're constantly changing the algorithm. So if you think you figure out their algorithm, they change it again. It's the same thing with Instagram. Facebook is in the business to make money. The way that they do that is by advertising, and they specifically, it is proven that they are now exploiting their users for that.
Facebook is an artificial environment.
And that should enrage you.
Facebook is an artificial environment that forces its users to behave in artificial ways. It's fake.
It's awful.
It's all fake. There are little clumps of people, particularly people my age, who actually get on there and communicate honestly with each other on it. But the kids, it's all about how popular am I? How do I look? What's going on?
Mm-hmm.
You know, how cool am I? Am I getting enough likes? What are my friends up to? Are they getting more likes than I am? This isn't normal. This isn't enabling communication.
No, because there is no communication.
This is a fake environment where people behave in fake ways.
Mm-hmm.
And it adds nothing of value to our lives. Unfortunately, we're stuck with it because everybody uses it to communicate now. I get a couple people like you who text me all the time. Most of my friends are hitting me up on Facebook all the time.
Yep.
So I got to have both going all the time just to stay in touch with people. I don't use it that much because I don't have any desire to be part of that. I see it for what it is. It's fake.
No, and more you're seeing advertisements and you're seeing sponsored ads on Instagram and Facebook. But when you hear this talking about teenagers, I mean, this isn't like your average person. We're figuring out what you're looking at. And these are teenagers.
Yeah.
You are purposely preying on the youth.
This is one of those things that ought to be illegal and probably is, but they're doing it anyway. And they're doing it, oh, it's just research. You want to tell me why a bank wants to know when 14-year-olds are upset? What good comes from having that information? I don't think there are a lot of 14-year-olds that are thinking about banking. Maybe when they get sad and depressed enough, the thought about planning for retirement or where they're going to open their next savings account crosses their mind. Somehow I doubt it.
No why. There's no sun up in the sky. Stormy weather.
Your Boston 5-day weather forecast is seasonable. No, it's not really.
We're in May.
It's cold is what it is. Temperatures falling down into the 30s in some places tonight. Bring in those tender plants because there could be frost out in the valleys. Tomorrow, mostly sunny. That yellow thing will be back up in the sky. Highs in the mid-50s, lows in the 40s tomorrow night. Friday, rain returns heavy at times all day long. High only of about 50 degrees. Low of about 50 degrees on Friday night. We're just going to be stuck in this cold, wet nonsense pattern all day on Friday. Saturday, the rain moves out in the morning. Might see some sun by Saturday evening. Highs in the low 60s. Lows around 50 degrees on Saturday night. And then on Sunday, partly cloudy. Showers return. Highs in the low 60s. Lows in the 40s Sunday night. And then Monday, showers in the afternoon.
Sure it's not April still?
More rain. High in the low 50s, low in the 40s on Monday. Somebody was asking me yesterday, you know, wow, this weather is really different. It's, you know, do you ever remember weather like this? I'm like, yes. I remember May and June of 1988 as one of the coldest and rainiest springs that we had ever experienced. And it was like this, only it was like this all the time for a good 5 weeks.
Yeah, it's depressing.
those of you who remember that year know what I'm talking about. It was cold and it was wet day after day after day after day. And I remember because I was working outdoors for all of it and just hating life. It was like if it got up to 60 degrees, it was a miracle. And it rained and it rained and it rained.
Well, like the rain.
WMFO Medford. Hey, when we come back, did you hear all of the other stories that caught our attention?
I'm going to the hardware store.
Oh, will you pick up 800 lumen bulbs?
800 more flowers? The neighbors will think we're wacky.
Not flower bulbs, light bulbs.
Come on, Dad. Lumens tell you how bright the bulb is. We can replace our 60-watt bulbs with energy-saving bulbs that give off about 800 lumens.
So, we'll save money.
Right.
Got it. 800 lumens and more savings.
Lumens, the new way to shop for light. Learn more at energysavers.gov.
Welcome back to The Big Picture on WMFO 91.5 Medford. He is Derek Gary, and I am Lisa Nichols here with you every Wednesday. We're here 7 to 9. As always, we want you to be a part of the show. You can call us at 855-915-9636. It's time for Did You Hear All Those Other Stories That We Couldn't Fit In, But Still Grant Talking About. So as always, I will start, and I'm going to give you the first one, Derek, which is... Orange is the New Black.
Orange is the New Black was leaked online on Friday by a hacker who had threatened Netflix if they didn't hand over Bitcoin. I think he wanted 50 Bitcoin. I don't know how many Bitcoin.
Yeah,
he wanted some Bitcoin. They didn't give him the Bitcoin, so he said, aha, I will release your show.
The hacker operated under the name The Dark Overlord. He initially demanded that Netflix pay an unspecified ransom to prevent all new episodes from being prematurely leaked online. The hacker had already reportedly uploaded the first episode on an illegal file sharing service.
They believe that the episodes were hacked from a sound production house in Hollywood, California.
Mm.
And that Orange is the New Black is not the only show that was a target of this.
I mean, look at how big it was when Game of Thrones 2 seasons ago, the first 4 episodes were leaked. And now no critics are getting to watch it for review.
Jay-Z.
Jay-Z, the singer, rapper. Hmm. I feel like I saw a story with him.
Yesterday.
Oh. He do something with his business?
He ties into that, yes.
Ah. I know I saw this. It's going to kill me. Sports business. Ah, what's the story? I know this.
You're in the wheelhouse, but you don't get the point. Jay-Z is getting sued for using his Roc Nation logo on Major League Baseball apparel.
Yep.
Iconics claims that it bought the logo from him for $204 million and that they get to decide where it can be used. Jay-Z created it, so he's being sued for using his own stuff by the company that he sold it to. They're also suing New Era, Lids, and the San Francisco Giants, everybody for $10 million each for a line of apparel that Jay-Z created featuring the new Roc paper airplane logo. So, I don't know if he forgot that he sold the logo. I would think that $204 million would be a powerful reminder.
Think about all the printing that went through and now is all.
But this is, you know, this is one of those things that just, I look at it and something here ain't right.
Mm-hmm.
Who's paying $204 million for a logo?
For a symbol.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I don't buy that part of it.
And I understand that, yes, Jay-Z is powerful, but come on.
Yeah.
That's a lot of money.
He's got to buy baby formula. What, his baby's going to starve now because he's got to give $10 million bucks for using a logo that he created?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's just, the story is absurd. And somebody's going to get money out of this. I don't know who. Probably Iconics is going to get some.
But now, what does Iconics run?
I have no idea who they are. Nobody knows
apparently
who they are.
They had $104 million.
$204 million.
Or 204.
They just showed up and started suing people. And it's like, who are these guys?
Iconic. It sounds familiar. Yeah. Walmart.
They're America's largest retailer.
That is true.
Walmart. I just read something.
It's actually funny.
I just read.
It's sad but funny.
I just read something about them. I didn't read anything sad but funny about them.
Yeah.
No, I read how they're America's